The doctor was the monk. Sorry, old habits. Here we go. How does a podcast evolve after you've practically solved every puzzy and riddy? You really gotta expand upon your limited brand before your show gets really shitty. You turn to face reality and pray your personalities will carry this last minute pivot through. So here comes the content that nobody wanted. Now it's time for Hate Riddle Riddles Clue Crew.
Oh, hey, JBC and Aaron, I didn't see you in my library here. I was just about to pull this book and open up a secret compartment in my house.
Okay,
man, go wild. Like, I'm sorry, did you need us for something, or?
Well, I don't...
Because you said you didn't see us, so we were obviously not disturbing you.
I did see you. Sorry, I invited you over, and I did see you.
Your library has all the best Bibles.
Thank you.
Mormon.
Aaron, what are some of your favorites? Yes, I have the Mormon Bible. I have
The one that's all lies, the one that's mostly lies,
Gideon,
the one
King
right
James
before
3.
They rewrote it to be homophobic.
The Bible for dummies, the Bible for smart people.
Yeah, but do what you were doing. Like, if you needed to go through a secret compartment or whatever to your treasures.
What I was going
to
say is...
And we'll find the bathroom.
Oh, there's...
I assume I can't miss it, right?
The room I'm going into is actually the bathroom. It's my secret compartment.
Huh. Okay, so the room you're going into now is the bathroom? And is that the only bathroom?
It is, yeah.
I'll just have to issue an apology right now, then.
Okay, that's fair.
Because I've used the bathroom in this house.
Huh.
And it was not in that room.
Interesting. Okay.
There are a lot of bathroom-looking rooms in this house.
Are we not in the bathroom right now?
This is the library.
Are we not in the bathroom right now?
This is the library.
What? Chairs ruined?
Honestly, I thought there was just a lot of really great reading options in this bathroom.
Speaking of great reading options, why don't we... Let me grab this tall, big book off the top of the shelf here. Here is my...
Wow, look at that.
Let me blow off all the dust.
Oh, sorry. So much cocaine on the top of that book.
I blew that right in your mouth. I blew that right in your mouth. Sorry, JVZ.
Well, there goes 10 years of sobriety. It just got cocaine blown into my mouth.
I saw a Black Widow on that book, too. Went right in your nose. Hey, so we're going to do a little
Come
something.
Come on, man.
Huh?
We're that spider lost her husband. Okay.
I never
that's
thought
not
about
easy.
It like that.
That's really... Give her a break, okay? She lost
that's
her husband.
That's why they're
that
so poisonous.
Spider.
Yeah, it's
because they're in pain.
It's also tough.
We're going to do a little thing called Improvise Han Christian Andersen. Han? Hans. Franz?
Wait, which one shot first?
All Improvised I know is all of a sudden tales. I'm getting beamed to go meet my maker. Look at this light that just appeared behind me.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
No,
that's
Aaron,
fucking nuts.
You have two tickets to go see Thon Maker, the stand-up. Oh, Aaron burnt the roof of her mouth again.
I mean, I guess it's just a visual for the people who are on this podcast, but this looks freaking nuts. How do I take a screenshot?
I never realized.
Oh, we don't have that long, Aaron. We don't have.
Hold on,
this
hold
that'll
on,
be set
on.
By the time you get to figure that out.
I never realized how much like Benedictine monks sound like Adam Sandler. Ha he ho he ho ha ha.
So it's the other, but they sound like him. It's not, who was around first? I can never remember this.
I want to say Sandler when he was on Overboard.
I figured it out. I didn't need help from freaking anybody. I figured it out.
Oh,
anyways, what were we talking about?
Yeah, do we have time for me to set up the episode?
Yes.
Is Hans Christian Andersen, is he the Little Mermaid guy?
He is, yeah. JPC, you and I at, I want to say 5 a.m. in the morning in Copenhagen, we went to the Little Mermaid statue and took photos.
That's why we did that.
Yes.
I thought that was just a mermaid statue, but it was because he wrote The Little Mermaid. Okay.
That's right.
Wow. And then I got to say, a lot of people online getting pretty pissed off that the new Little Mermaid is black. But I got to say, for all of you purists out there, I saw the one in Copenhagen. That shit's green. So the original version was wrong as well. Hans Christian Andersen always intended for her to be green, and it looked like a fish, and it fucked up that people got the culture all wrong.
And nobody seems to be upset that the new Sebastian is Canadian.
Well, I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I, when I saw
no,
that,
that
I turned to my...
that makes sense to be angry about.
I turned to my friend, I said, what's that about?
Well, we're doing Improvised Fairy Tales, part 3. I think we've done 2 before. So these are going to be all of Hans Christian Andersen's...
2 before? What are you building? You need a 2 before? You know, just one of my characters.
Building a band.
I'm on tonight.
I have a list of 168 titles. We've used, I don't know, 8 of them. So if we happen to say them and I catch it, I'll say something.
Oh, we didn't keep track? Love it. Love it.
I do love the blanket statement that if I happen to do something, something will happen. So don't worry about anything at all. Hush your little heads.
So yeah, the way this works is you say a number between 1 and 168. That's going to be the title of one of the stories the very prolific Hans Christian Andersen created. And you're going to improvise what you think that story was. And if you happen to know the story, you can just improvise your own little take on it. And here's what I'll say as an extra little caveat. We are deep in the bowels of October. Is that how you say that?
If you're a pervert.
Bowels of October.
I think you could say, as a doctor could say, deep in the bowels.
Of Texas. Clap, clap, clap.
We need
clap.
To get deep in the bowels.
Since it is October, maybe you say your story and make it a little spooky, and that's extra bonus points. If you want. Dealer's choice.
Don't tell me how to live, my man.
I don't know, man. I just found out that I'm an angel.
These colors don't... Hey, Aaron.
Look at this. Owie, wow, wow, wow.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle.
I'm not even making these noises.
Aaron, you're so excited about this, but the rest of us are just staring into the sun, which is not necessarily something like I'll just go ahead. I'm just gonna minimize.
Casey said incredible visual bit going on right now. Look, it looks like I'm holding the sun in my hand.
I feel like this should be the Patreon episode.
Sorry.
Aaron catches the sun. No, Aaron, you have nothing to apologize. In fact, you've inspired me.
You
I think this is going to be the
watch
whole...
me go from pure happiness to true grief when the sun is no longer in the screen.
That was Charlie Brown's deal, right?
Look how beautiful.
Charlie Brown was a creature of pure grief. That was his... I think he
he
rubbed a lamp and
moods.
He rubbed a lamp and used a wish wrong or something, and then of course got trapped as a grief
Women
monster.
Are amazing. Women, look how I'm controlling this light. Women
oh, I thought
are
you were talking
amazing.
About Lucy.
Well, that too.
Advice for 5 cents.
I'm ready.
What an amazing woman! What an incredible selfless woman, queen. Yes, Lucy, queen.
Yeah, but that was like what? That was in like the 60s. With inflation at this point, that advice
she'd
be
charging $500.
Yeah, $500 with a copay? Probably like a $20 copay for her advice now.
Aaron or JPC, who would like to go first?
Oh, can I tell you also, since we're speaking of copays, something funny that happened to me today is I do like, you know, online therapy. And I was talking to my therapist and we had maybe like 5 minutes left in our session. And then she was like, the next person, you can't hear it, but it's ringing. Like, it's just ringing right now, like the next person. And she was like, let me try to figure out how to stop this. And then like 1 second later, the next person just popped up into our like online therapy room. And she was like, hello? And I was like, hey, what's up? And she was like, and then my therapist was like, it's not yet. I don't know how this. And she was like, it's okay. And then that person like turned off their video. And I was like, hey, just close the window. Like, you're still here. Like,
yeah, can you just leave your the room off. Fully?
And then the person left. And my therapist, she was so funny. She was like, I am so sorry that happened. And I was like, it's truly no different than when I used to go in person and I would just see another person in the waiting room. I'm like, you don't really have to apologize. Like, this video software is not your software. Like, I was like, it's totally okay.
Was your therapist like, I guess you guys do have similar problems. Let me just try to say stuff that applies to both of you.
Date?
I would have loved it
match.
I would have loved it if she was just like, I can do both. Just try to do both. But the only thing that I did see with the other person that popped into the room is they also had three names on their screen. So I thought it was like, that's pretty interesting. Maybe my therapist has a type.
Yeah. Maybe. Makes sense.
I don't know.
Your therapist could just treat, I want to say serial killers.
Serial killers,
It's assassins?
It's assassins, yeah.
All assassins have three names?
Yeah, John Wilkes Booth, Ronald
Lee Harvey
the Gipper
Oswald.
Reagan.
Ronald D. McDonald.
J.D. Salinger.
D. McDonald!
Is that why all assassins carry a copy of Catcher in the Rye in their pocket? Because J.D. Salinger is three names?
it's because
I saw something.
Bullet.
Oh, never mind.
Addle, careful. They can hear you.
Is that why it's called Catcher
first.
In the Rye? Because it catches bullets?
We hear a knock on his door. I'll go first.
Who was the guy that killed Archduke Ferdinand? What was that guy's name?
That guy was...
Did he have a three-name name?
Peter Cetera.
Wow, he did the biggest one and nobody can remember him. Damn. Sorry, homie. And RIP our inbox when a bunch of people email us to let us know who that guy was.
Aaron, thank you so much for going first. Would you please choose a number between 1 and 168? And it can be 1 or 168.
22.
22,
and Adel,
Aaron.
These are like combo scenes and narration, right?
Yes, these are like... There's the pretzel of it would be the story, and then the sort of nacho cheese filling would be the narration.
Gotcha. Love it.
Error number 22, you'll be happy to know, and I think this fits perfectly with our spooky October theme, is called The Wicked Prince.
Ooh, give me a sec. I'm not a comedian anymore or an improviser, so this will just take me a minute.
Gavrilo Princip? That was that fucking guy's name? What a forgettable name.
Wait, did you just say the lead singer of Bush's name?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to come back down from this cloud.
Okay. Once upon a time, there was a prince called John Patrick. No relation.
Okay, I like this.
Don't take this personally.
Like where this is going.
And he was born a royal and had every bit of opportunity at his fingertips. He had all these resources and access to all of the most brilliant tutors and people to look up to. He had the internet. Exactly. One day...
Wait, I'm sorry, Aaron, was that a hard-ass reset? Because it had the energy of someone who was abandoning everything she just already said.
No.
I couldn't tell if the was regretting agreeing to my internet thing or if it was...
I regret everything.
Okay, perfect.
I regret everything. In case you wanted to do a quick check-in with me, I do regret everything. John Patrick, okay? He did not see his life like this. Every day, every chance he got, he was a storm cloud of negative energy and complaining. He didn't take any opportunity to change his circumstances. He just loved to be a stick in the mud. And anytime any of the kids from the town that he ruled over came to him and they wanted to vent about their problems, he would quickly change the subject into whatever champagne problem. Mostly his problems were based on champagne.
GPC, this sounds a lot like you.
Next petitioner.
I would like to petition that you treat me better.
Ugh, speaking of better, I had one of the worst wines that I've ever opened. I obviously didn't open it. My, what's the word? You.
Sommelier?
Okay, execute him. I knew that. This one gets executed. Anyway, my sommelier opened it, and it was one of the worst.
Wait, but you still use the word?
I'm sorry? This guy's not executed yet? What's going on here? Next, petitioner, next.
All the animals on my farm died, and we have no way to make money. Do you have any advice?
I was supposed to read Animal Farm for class. So boring. I remember there was a... a nursery rhyme called Old MacDonald, and it was short. It was to the point. You know what noises the animals make. And this book was way longer than that.
Mr. John Patrick, sir, the animals, our farm, going
you're still
broke,
here?
Starving.
You're still here? Get out of here. Oh, my. And also, it's the epitome of rudeness to interrupt someone when they're telling a story, especially one as interesting as the one that I was telling about Animal Farm and Old MacDonald. Guard.
We haven't eaten in weeks.
Guard, feed this one to the next one.
Yes, sir.
Just then, an old frail woman walked up to the line.
Hachi-machi, what do we have here?
Excuse me. All of my children have passed away, and I have no one to take care of me, and I am too old to tend to my farm. Is there anything that you can do? I don't know, something that you're grateful for to cheer me up? Something from your life to make me feel a little bit better?
Let me ask you this. What are you doing Wednesday night? And do you like the opera?
Dying, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Interesting. Ooh, a little dark side to you. Cards on the table.
I'm a very wealthy man, obviously.
Oh, Full House, Full House. You see, oh, Full House, the princess of Full House.
Yeah, well, I win. Nothing beats a Full House in cards. You look, you're an interesting creature. I like your vibe. You're great at storytelling. I love what you just told me about your family being very something. How about you and I go to the opera on Wednesday night? We see where things go. I un-execute my sommelier. We get a nice bottle of something. How does that sound?
No.
Ooh, hard to get. Okay.
You complain too much.
You complete
me. You're too negative. Say okay. One thing you're grateful for, and I'll go on a date with you.
One thing I'm grateful for?
But the prince couldn't, because he was such a stick in the mud.
One thing,
Uh-oh. He couldn't.
Huh. I can't think of one thing. Shit.
Just then, the castle gets struck by lightning, and the prince immediately blacks out. He wakes up, and he is in a farm. The same farm that had all the animals had tragically passed away. He had body switched with the boy who had come to complain.
What the fuck kind of castle is this? The walls. Huh. Oh, well,
His father came in to greet him with terrible news.
Oh, there you are, son. I have terrible news. Not only are all the animals dead, but our crops have gone as well.
Okay, oof, I'm famished. What is the breakfast situation here?
That's it, son. There is no breakfast. No pigs for the bacon, no cows for the milk, no sheep for wool pudding, no corn for corn on the cob, no soy for soybeans.
Look, I don't want to tell you how to cook. Just whatever, if there's like a special or like the vegetable of the day or whatever is, I'm not picky. I'm a little, oh my God, I'm looking at my hands. We need to get a manicurist in ASAP because these things are dirty. How did this happen? Wait a second.
The prince let it happen. He let our animals die and our crops wither. Now we too shall go the way of our crops and animals. Unless you do something.
But wait, I am the prince.
Go, son, see the prince. Go and beg of him. Beg for our lives.
Okay. I don't beg. And you are giving me bummer vibes. If there was a guard around here, I would have you executed. Because it's completely bummer vibes from you.
Smack across the face.
Ah! Ah!
Don't give me lip, boy.
I wasn't going to kiss you. What are you, insane? And I'm definitely not kissing you now.
The prince and his new body made his way up to the castle.
Body's weak as hell. Gah. Ugh. Ugh.
The young village boy, now in the prince's body, agreed to see him. Well, well, well. If it isn't me, but not me. Sorry, I didn't have time to come up with a cool... What are you doing here?
What do you think I'm doing here, you little ungrateful swine boy? I'm here because I'm the prince, and I demand that you give me my body back.
Smack across the face from the sommelier who's been unkilled.
How dare you talk to the prince that way? Kneel before your liege.
Mm. Wait a second. That's smack across the face. Cabernet Sauvignon, tannins, oaky finish. Oh, what vintage is that? I'll actually have a glass of that.
Smack him.
Smack across the face.
Ah, not the kind of glass I wanted. What is going on here? I'm the prince,
you're calling
you fools.
Me ungrateful, but actually I'm not ungrateful at all. I was grateful for our animals when they were alive. I was grateful for the time I had with my dad. I was grateful that our crops were good. We were making soybeans out of soy every day, and it was bountiful. Mm. I was grateful then, and I'm grateful now. It is your fault that you were not grateful, so I will help everyone else in this town who isn't you.
Come on!
Hooray! Hooray!
Come on! Hey, shot in the dark. Do you want to have sex?
No.
Okay.
Smack
I thought about
the
it. I thought the logistically we'd on. Probably be good at it, but doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Right?
Doesn't matter.
Because if I'm being honest, I did go ahead and crank down with what you're working with on the way over here, and Nice. I gotta
Thank
say,
you.
Not bad.
Thank you. Thanks.
For a little sick farm boy, not bad.
Until not you learn bad. To be grateful in your new life.
Come on.
I won't agree to switch back with you.
Okay, so, but mechanically, that is something you're capable of.
Toss him out of the castle.
Oh,
what? Leave
hey,
ho!
Joke's on you, asshole, not my body. Oh, ah, oh, ah, oh. Okay. Okay, look. Think about this, Prince. Think about this. You're never going to get your body back if you don't be grateful, whatever that means. So,
did someone say get their body back?
No, don't know who you're talking to. Have a good day. We give it the office.
The more you run, the more you are ensnared in
yes,
my trap.
I did. I did say get the body back. Who are you?
I am the Bog Witch. Bog Witch.
Oh,
I'm
no.
still branding. I'm still trying to brand.
No, it's fine. You,
hashtag
yeah, you,
Bog Witch.
It looks like, yeah, you look like a Bog Witch for sure.
Thank you.
What, I'm sorry, how can
the
I?
The Bog Witch was not fully fleshed out, but was in the story anyway. Her confidence was low because she was just starting her brand.
I have like a white t-shirt and jeans for now. But yeah. Eventually I'll have some sort of a cloak or like a house with chicken legs or maybe a chicken roof. I don't know. I'm still spitballing.
I think you honestly, you need to figure it out. And then you'll be, you know, in a place where you don't need to figure it out anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like you have to just kind of make a decision.
Shh. I am the one who switched your body with the farm boy with the, you know, sizable package.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty good for a farm boy. Wait, you were the one who hit my castle with lightning?
Yes, that was I. Because
okay, well, there better not be damage to that castle, because
no,
the
it's,
insurance
it's
on
magical,
this thing...
It's magical lightning.
It's magical lightning. Whew.
What you have to do is make amends. Plant with your own hands seeds to make new crops. Plant with your own hands animals and make them grow.
Hold on.
Do the work.
No, I just have to be grateful. I'm not going to do two quests. I'm not going to do the one where you make me go
the prince
do a farm
had to
thing.
Do two quests.
No, come on.
See?
Who said that?
I'm telling you, the prince has to
okay.
do two quests. And
Fine.
Maybe the quests inform each other. Maybe
okay,
the
I'm
way
not...
to be grateful... Is to build
putting in my
yourself.
Headphones. I'm putting in my earbuds. I'm going to walk the rest of the way back to the farm. If anyone else tries to rope me into another quest, it's not happening. I'm
you
only doing
I
two.
You think I can't talk through your earbuds? I'm like a pilot.
Damn it!
I'm like
Jesus.
A pilot. I can talk right into your headphones.
How is this possible?
Omniscient. The voice is.
Okay, fine. So what are you?
Like Yoda? Am I like Yoda? What is Bog Witch?
Well, you shouldn't be like Yoda.
Who is Bog Witch?
Yoda lives in a bog.
Oh, that's right. Wow. Maybe that subconsciously is what I got mm-hmm. that from. Let me... I think you learned your lesson. Snap of the finger. Sorry.
Ow!
Oh, I'm sorry.
Finger, fuck me!
I am sorry.
Jesus.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's a clean break. It's a clean break. Woo!
Okay, let me...
Oh, that's smart.
Clap my hands and switch your body back. I think you've learned your lesson.
No, wait, really?
But the prince...
No, was she fucking with me? She left. Still this... Okay, maybe that's like one quest down.
But the prince hadn't switched his body back into his prince body. He switched with one of the dead farm animals. Ooh.
Oh,
don't jerk off.
Look at this bloated horse. I must have forgotten to bury this one.
Oh, it seems like
there's something behind its eyes. It seems intelligent and alive.
It's me. Hello.
It's not saying a word.
Oh, come on.
Snap of the hoof.
Ow! It actually doesn't feel so bad, actually, being dead. It kind of takes the feeling off the hoof snap.
Of course, before you bury a horse, you have to cut off its hooves and teeth so no one can identify it.
I don't know. This sounds like a personal preference of this guy. That doesn't sound like a mainstay of horse burial.
Was that a pun?
Wait, you can hear me.
Mainstay?
Oh, I have to speak in puns. It's the only way my father, a.k.a. the farm boy's father, can hear me. Father, it would behoove you not to bury me.
Now we're talking. Let me get you up on your feet and take you to the prince, for surely he will want such a magical horse.
Thank God, one pun and I am done. Whew, I was really going to struggle. Do I have a tail for the prince?
Okay.
I get it. Sorry, yeah. Took me a minute.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay. You're a farm boy, farm father or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
But the prince didn't even let him in this time. He met him at the door. What are you grateful for? Anything? Or have you just been whining about having extra side quests?
Actually, Prince, I am grateful for something. It took me a while to figure it out. It took me a bog witch breaking my finger. It took me being trapped in a dead horse's body and reconnecting with the farm boy, your father. But I have figured out something that I'm grateful for. I'm grateful that I'm not you. Because in the one day that you've been Prince, you've done more princely things. You've seen all the people in the village. You've granted them their wishes than I ever did as Prince. And I didn't deserve to be Prince because I wasn't a good Prince. So I'm grateful that I can live the rest of my life in this dead horse, just kind of doing puns, cranking down. And yes, I did crank down on the dead horse. Other way
you
over
were
here.
You explicitly because, asked not to.
Well, sure, you could ask, but a horse is gonna horse, if you know what I'm saying. But I wanted to tell you, Prince, I wanted your dad to drag this dead horse back here so that I could let you know you can be the prince, and I'll live out the rest of my days as this horse corpse.
Hey, that's really nice, but I want to give you what you really want. And the prince snaps his fingers, and you.
Oh, damn, dude! I wouldn't have done that. Oh, you did all of them all at once.
Yep. And then you turn green, and then you float onto a broom, and then what's his name? John Travolta comes out, and then Adel, can you say what John Travolta says as he points to the wicked prince?
Oh, who do we have here? The wicked Prince Adadazid.
End.
And don't forget to go see the Bog Witch DJing every Thursday night at the Pig Whistle.
Bog Witch, we're going to get you a manager and a PR person. We're going to figure out your branding. We're going to get some good marketing minds on this because you're still in a white t-shirt just snapping fingers.
I'm actually with CAA.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. She's with me. Caw. I'm a crow. I'm Bog Witch PR.
Beautiful story. Beautiful story.
That's a really, really nice story. I really
like
the way that...
I'd like to follow the Caw and the Bog Witch. I feel like they have a lot more to say. We'll circle back to them.
We'll circle back to the Caw.
We'll
and the
definitely
Bog
circle back to them.
We won't forget, of course. We never do.
No fucking chance.
Mine's like steel traps. I'm going to go ahead and next here. Who are you? Sorry, who's this talking? I'm going to go with number 80. Let's see here. Number 80 on the Hans Christian Andersen story list is a story called The Money Box, which I don't think we've done.
Eerie. I don't think we did. I don't think we've done that either. Yeah, The Money Box. Okay, bad title.
Hold on. Let me choose a different number.
We'll see.
No, he's dead. He's dead. He can't choose it. But he made a story called The Money Box, and okay.
A long, long time ago, in the smallest village in the world, a village consisting of only 4 people, there was an antique store. Well, they called it an antique store, but what it really was curiosities and oddities from around the globe, where travelers who passed through this small town would sell their little items, their little knick-knack, their little bric-a-brac for food or for gas for their horses so they could get to where they're going. And so this antique store started to fill up with more and more items from around the world. So many valuable treasures that no one really ever saw or bought or gave a second glance to because it was in the smallest town in the world. Of course, this small town had a name, and the name, I will say, in a few seconds from now, but not yet. Not quite yet. Plainsville. That was the name. Sorry, Plainsville. I just remembered. It's Plainsville. In Plainsville, again, like I said, there is 4 residents, and they all got along. They were all distantly related. I think second cousins, all of them. There was Michael, the barber.
Hello.
There was Josephine, the barber.
We do not get along.
There was Clarence, the hair cuttery.
Hey. If you want a haircut, come see Clarence. He'll cut your hair. He'll cut it up nice.
And there was Petunia, the stylist.
Oh, hi there.
But this story is about none of them.
But you saw my freaking voices. Dang it.
For one day, a traveler came through town.
Wait a second. There's traveled... four people. Who runs the shop? Is it like one of those Amazon kiosks where it just like scans you?
It's automated. Yeah, it runs itself. It runs itself. Much like New York and Sex and the City, the antique store is kind of its own character.
It's like the fifth character.
May I, JPC?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're being just like John Patrick the Prince. So one day, a traveler stops in to Plainsville from the farthest reaches of the map. And they make their way inside the antique store. Ding-a-ling-a-ling was their name. And, of course, the bell rings on the door. And Ding-a-ling-a-ling walks into the store. And they look around. They go, hello, hello. And nobody answers. There's no presence inside the antique store. There's no human. There's no beating heart. But yet, a voice, the antique store, does answer Ding-a-ling. And the voice says,
welcome.
Bogwitch, get out of here.
Oh, sorry. Welcome in.
And Ding-a-ling-a-ling said to the store,
hey, my name's Ding-a-ling-a-ling. I just got off a long shift in the army. And I am just passing through town. What's that?
Welcome to Plain. Sorry, we always forget the name of our town.
It's Plainfield.
I
saw it on four different barber's signs on my way in.
Are we sure it wasn't Plainsville?
It could be Plainsville.
Plainfield.
Sorry, we had this is actually not what the story's about, but there was a bog witch that put a curse in our town that we can never quite remember. It takes us
Hashtag bog witch.
I was just getting my horse some gas on my way home, like I said, from the army. And
just then, from the corner of Ding-a-ling's eye, something shiny sparked. He saw a glimmer that just seemed right out of reach. And when he turned his head, he saw the most beautiful, compact little box on a shelf in the store.
Whoa! What the heck do we have here?
Oh, You're not interested in that.
He picked it up and a vibration shimmered through his body. He felt 9 feet tall. He felt like he could lift 1,000 pounds. He felt like he could make love to every person in the world 10 times over in one night.
Oh, I feel awful, like I just shrank an inch and got weaker and can't fuck as good.
He joked to try and get a better price.
Whoever is in here, I'm interested in purchasing this.
No, you wouldn't be interested in something like that. Can I interest you in a box of candy instead? You don't want that.
Why don't I want this? Because I'm telling you, every fiber of my being is screaming, Ding-a-ling-a-ling, you gotta go home with this thing.
But of course, what Ding-a-ling-a-ling did not know is that the antique store over the years had grown stronger and stronger from the magical items inside of it. And it wouldn't dare let go of one of its precious items. That would be like giving up an organ. For humans listening, that would be like giving up an organ. Like that's like the one-to-one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It would make the store weaker. So the store scrambled to think of any non-precious items like boxes of chocolate or graphic tees or magnets or like pens, like souvenir pens. But no, Ding-a-ling-a-ling knew what he wanted. And so he started to make his way outside of the store without bartering, without paying for it.
Yeah, if you're just a voice, honestly, I think I might just take this.
No, you don't want it. Oh, it smells so bad as soon as it's out of the store.
Okay, well, I mean, I gotta try, right? I mean, like,
no.
And he took it outside of the store, and it didn't smell. The antique store had lied. And so he got on his horse, gassed it up, which I assume means, like, feed it beans in this time and day. And he headed out. The antique store behind him, in a horse's rear view eyes, the antique store started to shrink and wither, and planks of wood rotted and fell off in real time until it blew away, dead from losing the most magical of all items. But Ding-a-ling-a-ling gave no heed, and he proceeded into the next town, which was a medium-sized town, and I will say that name of this town in just a moment here, it was Cincinnati. He drove into Cincinnati on his horse, and he made his way to a restaurant to get some food, and he sat down and realized he had no money. For when the check came, he realized he had spent 92 gold. Oh no, he thought. I ate 92 gold worth of food? What could I have possibly fucking ate to have 92 gold as a tab?
Excuse me, can you itemize this bill?
Yeah, but it's going to take a really long time to write out.
That's
fine.
He didn't
have time. The one thing he didn't have was time. He checked his pants. He checked his horse's saddle. There was no money to be had.
Shit.
Oh, but then the box caught his eye. He opened the lid of the box and a bright light shone out of it, almost like the suitcase in Pulp Fiction.
Haven't
Remember
seen
that?
It.
Oh, okay, never mind. Almost like earlier when Aaron was trying to catch the sun through.
But Ding-a-ling has it. Yeah. Because he used the
JBC, like the suitcase.
And I haven't, but my character has.
I get it. Interesting. I get it. Yeah.
And when Ding-a-ling put his hand into the box, he pulled it out. And sure enough, inside the palm of his hand was 92 gold. Well, 92 gold plus 10%, 18.4 plus 92. There was 150 gold coin. He was a generous tipper.
He was going to tip 10%?
Hold on. 20%.
That's generous to you?
20%. What did
I
say?
Yeah. And 20%, by the way, not generous. That's pretty standard.
22%. 22%.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know, generous on 22%. I think
Ding-a-ling
that's like...
Ding-a-ling died. He died. And the box continued to glow. And sure enough, the waitress who had helped Ding-a-ling, who had served and been shafted by this 22% tip, saw the box from the corner of her eye, and she picked it up and she took it home. And she showed her husband at night this new gift that she had found at the diner.
Hey, honey, I made some good tips. And also, check out this thing.
Whoa.
She reached her hand into the box. And sure enough, her and her husband had owed $1,200 of property tax. And sure enough, when she pulled out her hand, she had 1,200 gold coins. Just enough for, plus tip. What's the tip on property tax, GPC?
I would say if you're a nice guy. 20%.
Okay. So $1,200, 20%, 120, 240, 12, 14, 1440?
Honey, what do you say we go to Vegas and blow this all in one night?
Vegas? From Cincinnati? That's one whole town over. wait, are you sure we shouldn't just go and play and just pay our property taxes? I mean, it's your money. So ultimately, you can decide what we do. And I did just get a... get a flyer that Celine Dion is playing Vegas.
And they both died. And the box sat in this poor couple's house for days, weeks, months, years, until one day Celine Dion was touring through Cincinnati and she bought the property as it has become up for sale because eventually the dead bodies were found. Celine Dion bought the property and she went into the house to scout around to see if there was any odds and ends in the house. And sure enough, from the corner of her eye, she saw it. She saw a glint, a gleam, if you will. She saw the box and opened it.
I think of a good impression. How do I do it?
Just, it's like Celine Dion. I think she's like French, Canadian.
And a drunk woman stumbled in.
Baby, 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 when you touch me like this.
That's right. She had opened the box.
Like that.
And the glow from inside, the wealth from all the magical years it had existed, went straight into her throat. And gave her the most beautiful musical voice of all time. The riches had become a sound, a vibration, a noise. And that noise was pressed into 32 million records and CDs that were sold worldwide, making her one of the top 10 solo recording artists of all time, Canadian songstress and former Eurovision winner.
She went. Yeah, I think she did win Eurovision. Yes.
Celine Dion. That is the story of how she got her voice in a little tale I call The Money Box. Finn.
Wow, that's good. And that's true?
Yeah, that was, I saw a Ken Burns documentary,
It
was on The Money Box.
Wow.
She's older than I thought because of how old Hans Christian Andersen is, but not an unbelievably old age.
No.
Yeah, she's believable.
She looks great.
She looks 100% great.
JPC, do you want to bring us home with a number between 1 and 168?
Yeah, I'm thinking we're going to go with 12.
Interesting. JBC, this is one you might be familiar with.
Oh, shit.
So you can either pass or make it your own.
I think I might make it my own.
This is called The Emperor's New Suit.
Whoa, The Emperor's New Suit. I am familiar with this one, and I don't want to spoil the story because it's a fucking phenomenal one.
David Spade. Patrick Warburton.
Wow. Spade and Warburton, the dream team, reuniting on that one. It's called The Emperor's New Suit.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time, there was a very industrious and haughty tailor who thought that their tailor shop was the best in the world, and they could make any piece of clothing for any person and make them look, the person that they made the clothing for, the best that they'd ever looked in their life. The tailor had all kinds of clients, right? The tailor had, very wealthy investors. the tailor had a debutantes about to go to the ball.
It means.
Yeah, two debutantes, yes. Only one of them, unfortunately, one of them could win, and the winner was...
Both of us.
The tailor had all people of all stars and stripes. Anyone, anywhere that you asked, the tailor had made the most beautiful clothes. But one day, while the tailor, the boastful and haughty tailor, was working away in his shop, the door opened, and there in front of him was his royal majesty. And his royal majesty was there for a suit.
Excuse me. I've heard of your fashionista ways. I've heard of your haughty body. I've heard you make the finest clothes in all the land, and I would like to commission from you a suit.
Well, sir, I'm just but one humble tailor. My hands are covered in blood from all the needles I use all day. You want me to make you a suit?
Oh, never mind. I'll just go to H&M.
No, please. Oh, I blew it. Please,
The tailor was downplaying it because one look at the king, the tailor was absolutely convinced that they could not make the king clothes. Because the king,
weird body?
No, it was, I don't want to say weird body, but are you familiar with the Burger King king?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like humongous head. Like, the head was, but not the Burger King king, like a human head, but yeah. The size of the burger, like a nightmare, right? Like,
well, I will say in Hollywood, big heads book.
To a point.
Jennifer Aniston, huge head.
To a point, but like, take Jennifer Aniston and like, times eight. Like, this is a big...
Oh,
this is a
no.
Big, and it's frozen, like the burger. It basically, one-to-one Burger King King, I don't know, like, deviant art Burger King King human, and it's that. Like, the tailor is seeing this, and it's like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do with this.
Well, I'll need hear him more say fabric. It. No, he's right. The narrator's right. I'm sorry.
So the king insisted. The king absolutely insisted and said, Tailor, you have... how many days should we give him? You're the king. You can do anything you want.
Measuring. Wait,
can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. You need more fabric because I have a huge head.
Yep.
I don't know if I misspoke. I'm looking for a suit.
Yeah, with a hat. I always give a bonus hat.
Oh, okay.
It makes sense now.
The tailor had thought about a plan where they were going to give the king like one of those big-ass David Byrne suits, but they had to make it even bigger so the king's head looks small. Because, everybody always talked about how this king had a big head and, metaphorically big head, but also like a huge head.
And wow, so even bigger in person, if I do say myself.
Thank
wow.
you. Oh, can I say H&M, of course, stands for horse and manure?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So the tailor obviously wanted to give the king one day of the king's life where everyone would be like, wow, the king has like a normal looking head. Like, that's pretty cool for the king. So the tailor set to work. Oh, they spun their weave all day and all night, and they desperately tried, but everything they did, it turned to naught. They could not make a suit of clothes that would make the king look like they had like even a Jennifer Aniston proportioned head. Like, even that would be like ideal for this king.
How does it look? Be honest. You're recoiling. That's bad.
No. It's good. It's good. It's good.
You sure?
Yeah. Just don't ask anyone else, okay?
Wait, why?
Just ask me.
Okay.
I'm just saying, just ask me.
You're being honest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, the tailor was at a loss. The tailor had no way of helping the king because despite how haughty the tailor was and how confident they were in their ability, they just couldn't help this king. So one night, they packed up their bindle and they were planning to flee town. And they left their town. They left their home. And they walked and walked and walked. But they got lost. They were supposed to be taking the road from, let's call it Cincinnati to Vegas. But instead they got lost and they found themselves in a bog. A bog.
Fun.
Now's my time to shine, baby.
I think you mean our time to shine.
Oh, hey, Carl.
Remember, yeah. I always get 10%.
10%? That's not very generous.
What do we have here, Bog Witch? It's a tailor.
We have a tailor. That will add nicely to our collection of a tinker.
Soldier.
Spy.
Thomas. Jonathan. But look, tailor, why are you crying?
Because I thought a great opportunity would be great and not the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Oh, that sounds so sad. Well, tell you what, my crow and I will do you a solid. We will grant you one wish if you can make me a new outfit. As you see, I just have a white t-shirt and jeans.
Right.
Yeah, it's like what's her image? We kind of want to figure this out because yeah. I can book her if we know like what type she is, you know?
Yeah, well, I just have to.
I know I'm not the first to tell you this. Your head is huge.
Wow. Good for our business.
Big Heads Book.
Big Heads Book. BHB. That's the name of my agency.
I thought it was CAA. No,
that's
your
my
name.
Name.
That's your name.
But I work for BHB.
Well, anyways, I'll be on my way.
No.
A suit
of clothes. So the tailor worked. In the swamp, there wasn't a lot of materials, but the tailor, very haughty, very good at what they do, and they made the Bog Witch a brand new outfit.
So we're talking 2022 Yeezys on the feet. we're talking, let's see, like a denim skort thing. Like it's like a... Like a
yeah,
skirt,
very
with like,
cool and in. Good,
like, yeah. Wow. With like one strap. It's not like overalls. It's like a one strap, but it's like to the side. What else? Taylor, help me out here. What else did you do?
No, you
this?
Were doing great.
Can I just describing, Carl?
Can I just say my Instagram is blowing up. Everyone loves my new fit, my new drip.
And
you
the-
get what? Oh.
And the Bog Witch's drip was on fleek, and everybody knew. And it was, and the Bog Witch was booking. Ka was making that 10% money. The Bog Witch bought a nice like place. Like it was really blowing up for the Bog Witch. But the Bog Witch fulfilled their part of the bargain, and they granted the tailor one wish.
What shall it be, tailor? You have served me well, so I shall do you in return.
Well, it's sort of a two-part wish. You probably aren't powerful enough to make it come true, huh?
No, I am.
Oh.
Of course I am.
Well,
yes,
I would like to be emperor, and I would like a new suit.
Okay. Done. Let me snap your finger.
Not till
I get my 10%. Let's see. 10% of being the emperor. Let's see. 10% of that is like...
The letter E?
I guess I get to be like the letter E, like the Duke of E. I get to be the Duke of E. Cool.
Don't worry, Taylor. If you take away the E, you're still an emperor. Because I think it's E-M-P, right?
So yeah. Sure. Emperor. Yes.
You're emperor.
Okay. And then 10% of a new suit is like socks for me. So, okay. Go ahead.
And there you are. You, Emperor, are Emperor, and you have a new suit.
So the Emperor traveled back through the bogs of just outside of Cincinnati. So what's
here, I'll go ahead and dry you off as well as a second part.
Yeah.
Third part of the wish.
Casey, help us with a Cincinnati suburb. Like, what would that be? Because the bog has to be like a suburb of...
Is Dayton a suburb? No.
I think that Dayton's its own shit, like, because it's like Akron.
I mean,
Kentucky Columbus.
Is Cincinnati's basically Paducah. In Kentucky.
Paducah. We'll call it Paducah right across the river. Okay, so the bog witch, who isn't a bog, which is Paducah, Kentucky. Apologies.
I think people say over the Rhine or OTR.
BHB. The emperor has a brand new suit of clothes, and they go back to the kingdom of Cincinnati, and they see the king with his big head. But this time, they outrank the king.
You there, who are you with that great suit? Oh, emperor.
I'm the new emperor. Walk away from me.
yes, right away.
And the king did walk away. And the king walked and walked and walked and walked until they walked themselves into the bog.
But the bog witch.
But the bog witch wasn't even there anymore because she's booking. She's booking.
That's
she's working.
Right, that's right.
And so she's like doing really well. And the king, it's a bog and he's got a big ass head. He fucking just died in there, man. Like he died. He died. He tripped and he fell into that bog, man. He fucking drowned, dude. He died. So he never got his clothes, but eventually they recovered his body, and the emperor just made like a big sheet and like tied him up in that. And that was when his like funeral was in like a big sheet. Yeah, so it's like pretty good.
Before we end, can I ask what did I book? Was it a reoccurring? Was it a walk on?
It's an arc. It's a 3-ep arc on Blue Bloods.
Oh,
yes. With the possibility.
Way to go.
With the possibility. They could use it. This is like it's also like the mid-season finale too.
Yes.
So they could just like keep by your phone because they could use you maybe potentially. First of all, I'm working. I'm going to work on it because I think that you're good. I think you're worth it. I see a way that they could bring you back.
Yeah. Residuals?
It's not. It's only front end now. But if we book you as a season like a regular, then there's residuals. Yeah.
Okay.
Not bad.
And you can't
make
eye contact with Tom Selleck either.
Oh, because
he has fired. He has fired people for less. More important people for less.
Wow.
Yeah. He means it. And I think there's a Wahlberg that I think you can't touch.
Oh, must be Donnie.
I hope so.
Well, I'm happy.
The end.
Wow, the whole episode about a bog witch. I love it.
About a bog witch?
Well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Hugh Grant
that would
about
be
a bog
Hugh
witch.
Grant and Holt. Santa's super sleigh, I want to say.
We did manage to work that bog witch in, even though we said that we would forget about it.
I'm proud of us.
I'm very proud of us.
We're pretty smart.
We're pretty smart and very spooky. Bogwitch, always spooky for Halloween.
And Casey never chimed in with what that Cincinnati suburb might be, which kind of sucks because he's not even from there. He says, I don't know. Wow.
Who cares about Cincy?
Wow.
Wow. He doesn't know.
Interesting.
He doesn't know.
Do we think Casey's really from Ohio?
No.
I guess he probably isn't from Cincinnati, the place he claims to be from.
And I've been dying to talk about this. I don't think he's from anywhere.
Oh, wait, he's typing something. He said he's from Plainsville.
Wow. Casey's from Plainsville. Yeah. Yeah, he's from Plainsville. And Aaron, what fucking planet's Plainsville located on?
Neptune. Bye.
That was Clue Crew, so now here's a who's who. The relatable host was Aaron Keefe. If you rolled your eyes, it's because of Adel Refai or that other young guy, fucking JPC. Casey Tony edited what everybody said, and F. Mumley Cardamus did the logo. Arnie Parrott sang and wrote every single friggin' note of 1, 2, 3, 4, hate riddle, riddles, Clue Crew.